welcome to Friday the 15th of January and to the first HTXT AfriCast of 2016. Welcome back after a long break. How's it, Clinton? How are you doing today?
Good, and you? Back for work? Holidays are over, back to the grind.
Unfortunately, holidays are over.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, works pretty good, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of, the last 2 days that we had of the break, I kind of sat twiddling my thumbs. I didn't really want to start playing any new games or anything. So I was quite bored. I was quite thankful to come back last week, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yes.
I miss the internet connection the most because I downloaded a 45 gig game from Steam, Wolfenstein, The New Order, and I've just been throttled really badly at home. So I come to work and the internet's nice and fast.
Yeah, I was house-sitting a friend's house over the December period, and I hope they're not listening. But even if they are, they did tell me to go crazy with the internet connection, and I managed to shape them in 7 days.
Yeah, that just sounds like it's like a new age horror story. It's like, you're going to get shaped in 7 days.
Yeah. Right, so we've got a lot to talk about. There's been a lot that's been happening since last year, since the last AfriCast we did. One of the first things that I want to talk about before we get into anything else is the launch of Netflix in South Africa.
Yay!
We've
been justified as a country.
Yay, at last we can stream House of Cards, though not really.
Yeah, not at all, actually.
Exactly. If you don't know, Netflix launched here last week, Wednesday. At CES, Netflix CEO Reed Hastings came out and said that they were switching on Netflix in 130 countries around the world. South Africa is one of them. Nigeria was another. Azerbaijan. Basically every country except North Korea, China, and I think it was Crimea were the three that I can remember off the top of my head.
Sorry,
that don't
guys.
Have Netflix.
Sorry, listeners from those three countries.
Yeah. For whatever reasons, some people say politics and licensing and all that sort of issue. But once it was released, we started to go through the offering and realized that it's not that great.
Ghost Town comes to mind.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Not a show or a movie called Ghost Town, just like a figurative Ghost Town.
Because mainly, like, I love House of Cards. Kevin Spacey is awesome. And,
he is.
It's just a really well-filmed series. It's a great story. If you haven't checked it out, check it out. But that is not on Netflix in South Africa. And the reason for that is because House of Cards is currently being shown by Mnet, I believe. Mnet, or MultiChoice, DSTV.
Yes.
Somewhere in that ecosystem.
Basically, they have the license.
They have the license.
That's the
problem. So Netflix can't show that off here. And then... So that's a little bit weak. And then as well as if you compare to the offering in the United States, we only have 7% of what is currently on rotation in the United States. Now, I say that because Netflix does kind of update the rotation regularly. So we do have some stuff that the US doesn't have. But, I mean, here we're talking about movies like 10,000 BC, you know, that... I'm not particularly excited to watch, but anyway, so what a lot of people have been doing then is they haven't been cancelling their services like Uno Telly or Tunnel Bear or whatever it is to kind of trick Netflix into thinking that they are in the States when they're actually sitting here in South Africa. But Netflix today has come out and said that they're going to shut down those geo-scrambling services within the week. So right now, I'm able to go home and watch Netflix in the UK, Netflix in the US, anywhere in the world, really.
And the caveat is on one subscription.
Yes.
It's not like you have an account in each of those countries.
No.
You have one Netflix account, and you're using these scrambling services to make it look like you're in other places. And then Netflix kind of saying... Well, I don't know how you just traveled to three different countries thousands of kilometers apart in a few seconds, but we'll allow it. It's fine.
Exactly. And now they're coming out saying that they are going to prevent this. And the reason for that is licensing. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Basically, people that create content like your big movie houses and people like AMC, all these places that create the TV shows that we love to binge watch every weekend, they've come out and probably said to Netflix, listen... You need to put a stop to this because you're paying us for one territory and your users are accessing it from multiple territories to view the content. So they're going to try and they are I would say they're trying, but they, Netflix has said that they are going to put a stop to these proxies and unblockers, which is kind of bad news.
You know, I was thinking how they're going to do this, because if you use a VPN, you can just jump around. But I'm thinking about like Steam. Steam makes it extraordinarily difficult to change your location.
Yeah.
Like, you need to send them like proof of residence, exactly, or something if you want to change your account.
You do have to send them a proof of residence to let them know that you are in the country that you say you are. Otherwise, they just kind of detect where you are by your IP address.
And that's a big thing on Steam, because they have regional pricing. But I'm just thinking, like, if Netflix implemented something like that, you can't do that jumping around, even if you have a VPN.
Yeah.
If you are in South Africa and you tell, if you have, like, for going back to Steam, if you're on Steam and you make an account and you're in South Africa, and then you use a VPN to put yourself in America, Steam will kind of look at you and say, no, you're trying to do something funny here. We're not going to allow it. So Netflix could implement something like that to make it extraordinarily difficult. That being said, you could just turn on a VPN and make a new account. You never heard that from me. There's always ways around everything, but it looks like they're going to make it more difficult for you.
Look, as long as they come out after they do this and they go and say, right, well, we're going to make everything available from Orange is the New Black to House of Cards to Narcos to all of their original series, because that's kind of, for me, why Netflix exists and why I want a Netflix account, is to watch all of that Netflix original programming.
And Power Rangers. Apparently. like, if you go in the kids section of Netflix, 90%. There's just all the seasons of Power Rangers. They've just loaded them on there.
And I actually went and watched the original series, and spoilers, it doesn't hold up.
No, it doesn't.
It really doesn't. The acting is terrible. The action is horrendous. It doesn't hold up. Don't ruin your memories.
And I'm also going to agree with him. And I'm like one of the biggest Power Rangers fans. When I was little, I had a dog. When I was 5 years old, I got a dog and I named him Turbo, because there was a season of Power Rangers called Power Rangers Turbo. I still have that dog. I still love Power Rangers, but it really doesn't hold up.
Yeah, it doesn't hold up. I mean,
it's great for kids, though. Holds up for kids.
I'm interested to see what the other seasons are like, because I never watched anything other than Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. So maybe I'll check that out. But I mean, at the moment, Netflix is being used mostly by my roommate, and I'm watching Hearthstone videos on YouTube because I've become addicted to that. So, you know, while it's good, I do hope that a lot more content comes out soon. Yeah. Otherwise, $7.99 per month.
Yeah, and that's a big problem. They're using American pricing.
Yeah.
It's not like other South African services where they priced it in rands and it's kind of comparative pricing. It's in dollars.
Yeah.
And if the dollar goes up, well, then your
subscription goes up.
Yeah. So I'm hoping, a lot of people have said when Netflix first lands in a country, they've got a pretty barren offering and it gets better as time goes on. Yeah. So I'm hoping for that, and I'm also hoping for regional pricing in rands that will be a little bit more stable.
I mean, like, if you look at, like, just for example, and I'm going to use Showmax here because they are the next biggest competitor to Netflix. Yeah. Their content offering has gotten a lot better since they first launched here.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I just went browsing through it last week, signed up for a trial, and went browsing through it, and I was like, well, this is actually really worth 99 Rand a month.
Yeah.
But obviously, it's all linked to taste. You know, if you want certain shows, then you are going to go with a certain service.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so Netflix is here. We're waiting to see how it really pans out and whether it's successful here. Yeah. I'm going to hold out my judgments until more content comes through and see what happens with this DNS blocking and proxy blocking and see what happens with that. And I'll decide whether I'm going to extend my 30-day trial.
And just to end off on Netflix, our editor-in-chief, Adam Oxford, actually wrote a piece about the amount of money Netflix makes. And it was basically the headline for it. I can't remember it off by heart, but it's basically, is it worth Netflix time to launch here? Now, this was about a month or two before the announcement was made. And looking at the numbers, that the amount of money Netflix makes or the amount of loss Netflix makes from small countries like ours, we were thinking there's no way Netflix is going to launch here because they're not going to make any money. And they launched, which is very strange. I'm not a business analyst or anything, but go to check out that write-up on the site. It's very nice. It's nice and simple to read. And it just points out that Netflix is not making a lot of money, if making any money at all, in small countries like ours.
Yeah.
But they're still launching in all our small countries. So I don't know what their game plan is. Maybe a financial analyst can come on and tell us. But it was great that they launched, though. Again, like, it validates our country. Not many people know about South Africa. And
we have joined the world.
Yeah, us getting these big services is really great.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. It's kind of like a... It's kind of like getting Steam for the first time.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, the Steam holiday sale happened in December until the 4th of January, I believe.
4th or 14th.
Yes, somewhere around there. It must have been, it can't have been the 14th because that was yesterday.
Oh, okay. No, to the 4th.
So the 4th of January. And as always, everybody kind of goes, I'm not going to buy any games. And then buys like 15. I know I bought at least 3 games in the sale.
I bought around 5 or 6, but since then I've actually refunded 3 of them. But that's a story for another time. So this sale was... It wasn't the... Okay, Steam has changed the way it does sales. That's the big thing. In the past with Steam, what would happen, it would have this big site-wide sale. Most games, not all of them, but most, like a huge percentage of the games would get a discount. And then if you waited for special deals, which were flash deals, which lasted a few hours, or daily deals, which lasted, I think, up to 48 hours, that's when you got the best discount. That's when you're like 70, 80, 90% off of games. And that's what everybody waited for. Now, Steam came out and said, we're getting rid of those. We're getting rid of the flash deals. We're getting rid of the daily deals. We're getting rid of the featured deals. The sales are going to start with a certain amount of discount, and they're going to end with the same amount of discount. And the reason for this, they've come out and said, it's for people who can't check Steam every day. In the 24-day period, maybe somebody can only check Steam twice, and they want to make sure they get the best deals if they're checking in just those 2 days. So they implemented this in the sale before the winter sale, but this winter sale was the like big testing ground.
Yeah.
And they've come out and said, hey, it went well for everybody. More people bought more stuff. Steam made more money. The developers made more money. Publishers made more money. And gamers got more games. Now, they put out these two graphs that have no numbers on them. So I can't really tell you about percentage increases or anything because they have no numbers. They're just graphs. You can check out my story about it. But they're basically saying this new way of doing everything is better for everyone, according to them. And a new thing they're doing is they're basically wanting more people to look at more games. And the way they encourage that people to do that is by giving them trading cards. Now, every day you logged into Steam, you could earn 3 trading cards by looking through a discovery queue. A discovery queue kind of looks at games you've looked at, it looks at games your friends looked at, it looks at games that are popular, and it puts them into a list. And then it's like, hey, look through this list of a few games. When you look through the whole list, you'll get a trading card at the end. And that worked on me. Every day I logged into Steam, I looked through all the games, and I took my card, I sold the card for money, which I then used to buy games. And through that, I discovered a lot of cool games. And I'd added a lot to my wish list that I might buy at a future stage. But that's what they kind of pushed. They said, people are looking at more games, and the more people have eyes on your stuff, the more money you're going to make. And the numbers they put out was 197% increase in the rate of wish list additions during the sale.
Yeah.
So the top 500 games in terms of revenue outside of that, so the games that are the least popular, they attracted 35% of traffic, which is huge because usually those top 500 attract the most amount of people. And the percentage, that 35% is 4 times above what the previous winter sale. So lesser known games are getting more attention.
Okay, so now I get that all, and that sounds great and whatever. But what I don't understand is now they're pushing this whole thing of the wish list, right?
Yes.
They want people to add games to their wish list. They want people looking at more games. Now, when I have quite a substantial, or not substantial, but I have a wish list on Steam, and every time one of those games goes on sales, I get an email from Steam saying, this game on your wish list is on sale.
Yes.
Now, when they say that they're getting rid of the daily deals and stuff,
yes,
because people don't have time to check their Steam profile, which I get completely. Yeah. Like, yeah, there are times where I just don't open Steam on my computer for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm playing something on another platform or whatever. But I get emails to my phone, and yes, I check my emails every single day.
Yeah.
So if a game comes on sale, I know about it without having to log on to Steam.
Well, I think you and me and the rest of the office, and we what would they would call like hardcore audience. We're the core audience. We're checking for those sales. We're looking. We're using Chrome add-ons to look if maybe it's on sale cheaper. That's maybe not Steam, which actually happened on the sale with me. So I don't think we're the audience they're doing these changes for. I think they're doing it for the really casual audience who are buying games. I don't know what the right word yet. Not as critically. They're not doing as much research as we do.
They kind of go, okay, 75% off, I'll take it.
Yeah, instead of us, who would say, oh, maybe I'll wait a few days, we'll go 90% off.
Yeah.
So I think that's who they're doing it for, a little bit more of the casual market. And also, I think they're a big Fortune 500 company. I think they got a lot of financial people poured over the numbers and said, this is a better way to sell. So yeah, I think Steam's very tight-lipped about the money they make and the way they do business. So I think the real test is going to be when the summer sale rolls around in around June. If they still have it this way, then they've made their decision. They're going to keep it that way because, you know, it's driven by money. They're going to go the way that they're making the most money.
I suppose that's fair. Speaking of Steam games, yes. Yes. A rather interesting game, or how it came onto Steam,
yes,
this week was quite interesting.
Yes. So there's a game called Punch Club. Now, Punch Club is basically Rocky the RPG. You're a fighter. You need to win. You need to beat the top fighter. But the way you get there is very open-ended, and you can basically fail really easily. And it's an RPG, so you have to get stats up and everything. So the game was completed. But instead of just being released on Steam, the developers said, listen, we're going to make a version for Punch Club that can be played on Twitch chat. And the way this works is the game will be streamed, and people who are watching the stream can put in commands into the chat, and the command will go into the game. So basically, a huge horde of internet strangers is controlling the game. If you want to look this up, you should look up Twitch Plays Pokemon, because that's kind of the model they based this on. And they said, we will not put Punch Club up for sale until Twitch manages to beat Punch Club. Now, you could pre-order the game, but it might not ever come out. If you looked on Steam next to the release date, it said, it's all up to you. So
that sounds a bit silly.
There was a chance that this fully completed game would never see the light of day. That being said, Twitch chat beat it pretty quickly. They beat it in like 2 days.
Okay, so here's my thing, right? Is when Twitch plays something,
yes,
it usually goes on for like weeks.
Yes, I mean, a very long time to beat Pokemon. And the only reason it beat Pokemon is because they implemented this. It's very complicated how the mode works, but it's called Democracy Mode, and it made the game much easier for a horde of people to play.
Okay.
And they may have done something like this, but this is all just a publicity stunt, to be honest. They're like, hey, let's get some buzz around our game.
Well, that's exactly how I feel. I mean, when Twitch plays something, it takes forever. They played Dark Souls recently, was the more recent one.
Yeah, but Dark Souls is like a 3D open world game that's already very difficult. Punch Club is, I don't think it's turn-based, but it mostly is. And also Pokemon is completely turn-based. Yeah. So if the inputs are slow, it doesn't matter because it's turn-based. But yeah, they may have helped, they may have not helped, but not to discredit the developers and take away food and for their children and lights over them, but I was really hoping that this would fail. Like, I was hoping that the Twitch Plays Punch Club would go on for eternity and then the game never would end. Never come out. And I just wanted to see what would happen. Like, would they just turn around and say, yeah, we're going to release it anyway because we need to make money?
The question I have is, how long is the game if Twitch was good? Because, I mean, this happened when? Like Thursday sometime?
Yeah, it was about last week. It didn't take long.
No.
That being said, the game was played it's not like you would play a play session of a game, like sit down for an hour and then stop. The game went on. I think it took 48 hours to beat.
Okay, that's not too bad.
It wasn't that long. Here's the funny thing. They said that the Twitch chat only took a little bit longer than an average person would take to finish the game.
Okay, that sounds quite cool. Yeah,
so, I don't know. This was just a big publicity stunt, but I really wanted to see what would happen if it failed, because it would be a really unique thing to happen in the games industry for a fully completed game just to go under.
Never go to sale.
And that's actually a fully completed game that was never properly released, is something called the Desert Bus. Now,
this is quite interesting, yes. I must say. When you mentioned it to me, you were like, have you never played Desert Bus?
So,
like I was some sort of heathen?
Well, I've never played Desert Bus either, because I'm not an insane, crazy person. So Desert Bus, let me give you the outline of Desert Bus. You are a bus driver. You need to drive a bus from one location to the other.
That sounds simple.
The trip is 8 hours.
That's not bad.
In real time.
Okay, no.
You cannot pass over 45 miles an hour or what? You lose the game. You cannot veer over the road or you will lose the game. Losing the game, reset it and you need to start the 8-hour journey again. Once you finish the complete 8 hours, you can claim victory or you can turn around and do the trip again, totaling 16 straight hours. Now, this game was actually made for Penn and Teller. Penn and Teller, the magician duo, had a a compilation of games that was supposed to be released on the Sega CD. That never got launched, but Desert Bus made it into the wild, and it became a very popular streaming game where people would go on Twitch and the like, and they would stream Desert Bus for 8 hours or 16 hours or so on and so forth to raise money. And Desert Bus for Hope, I think that's what it's called, they are a charity who streams this game every year, and they raise lots of money for charity. So it's basically become a very niche game that's streamed for charities and so forth. And now they're going to remake it, and it's going to have a focus on VR. So on your 8 hours, you can look around your empty bus while you drive for the ridiculous amount of time. Penn Jillette, the half of Penn and Teller, he said they're going to remake it as part of a bundle of games. And yeah, it's going to be, people can play Desert Bus again. I'm really tempted to play this game, but I don't have 8 hours to burn.
I also don't think it's going to be very comfortable having a VR headset strapped to your face for 8 hours.
I've used like the best VR headsets, and well, you get a headache after a few minutes.
Well, I mean, I have headphones on for like 30 minutes at a time, and I'm like, okay, I'm over this. So anybody that decides to play this game, props to them. They've got much more willpower.
Oh yeah,
and
even
stamina.
To play the normal original game for 8 hours is,
and like, go and check out the article that Clinton's written about this, because like, it does, it's not like a visually ecstatic game. It came
all you see is the desert and the road, and then like the like some parts of a bus, like the steering wheel and the dials. And there's no gameplay. You press one button to accelerate, and then you use your direction keys to steer, and that's all you do. And you're going 45 miles an hour.
Yeah,
that's all you do, guys.
I can understand, like, it could be great for world records and that sort of thing, but I don't know if the casual gamer is going to strap a VR headset.
And
to
I don't
face.
The casual gamer won't even get the choice, because they announced that they're only going to give this game to charities like Desert Bus for Hope.
Okay,
I'm sure it will get in the wild one way or another. But that's what it's mostly going to be used for. It's not just going to be something you can buy on Steam or for your PlayStation 4 or whatever. It's going to be a very niche game for a very niche market for a very specific reason. But it's a very strange game, and it's actually kind of a joke, but it's like spiraled out into a real thing.
I think it would be worth a look.
Oh yeah,
for a couple of hours, and then crash the bus and something like that.
And
make it interesting.
Swear incessantly.
Yeah, make it. Turn it into Speed. That's what I'll do. An 8-hour version.
I'm sure somebody has modded Desert Bus to be like Speed or something.
We'll check it out, right, folks? That's all we have time for this week. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next week.
Yes, same time, same place, everybody. All the articles we mentioned are, of course, on htxc.co.za. Go give them a read. They have a lot more detail than these quick little talks we have. So, yeah, we'll see you next week, guys. Have a good one.
Peace out.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.